The children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light. I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'd like to thank Father John David and everyone at Transfiguration for your generous invitation and welcome. It's a joy to be with you in this church this morning. Many dear friends have spoken so warmly of this place. I wonder if you have a favourite scriptural verse, one that says something about you. One of mine is, "Be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves." Be as innocent as a dove, yes, but also be as shrewd or crafty as a serpent. I can't vouch for my progress in holy innocence, but the injunction to be wise, the command to be crafty especially, rings home for me. It's striking advice, but not as striking as our remarkable gospel reading this morning. We heard a parable about a crestfallen manager, soon to be out of a job, who commits fraud several times. And here's the extraordinary thing, he's praised for doing it. The manager in the parable is praised for being as shrewd as a serpent. And that's it. No innocence here, no dove-likeness, just shrewdness. In today's gospel, there is no dove. Perhaps the serpent has eaten it. What are we to make of this parable? I have two suggestions, one more general and the other more specific. Starting generally, the manager is praised for his resourcefulness and tenacity. He may be unjust, but he's praised because he went all out, because he made the most of unpromising circumstances. And this message comes to us again and again in the Gospels. Don't dawdle. Be urgent. Seize the gospel opportunity. Going all out is a common theme on our Lord's lips. Think of these sayings of Christ. No one who puts her hand to the plough and looks back is worthy of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent people seize it. And then there's the parable of the treasure in the field, and the pearl of great price, and so on. Be urgent, don't hold back, it's a common theme. Okay, but what if an all-consuming faith, what if a fiery way of believing does not come easily to us? There has, after all, been a long-standing Anglican worry about what gets called enthusiasm. The Oxford movement campaigned for reserve in dealing with holy things. What if we find the call to urgency a little bit distasteful? I have two responses. The first, of course, is that we may need to learn to get over ourselves. The human predicament is terrible. We shouldn't dawdle about the faith or be half-hearted. That's one response. The other is to say that urgent, full commitment, taking things to heart with all seriousness, needn't be showy or attention-seeking. It is okay to be wary of ostentation. It's perfectly possible to be a full-blooded Christian, as we are urged to be, and to be it without being showy. In fact, in my experience, it's often unshowy faith, which doesn't draw attention to itself over time, that lasts the distance. Reserve, that good Anglo-Catholic virtue, is compatible with commitment. And that, if I may, brings me to the Queen, as she lies in state in Westminster Hall today. For me, Elizabeth II sets an example of exactly what I'm talking about. Of faith that was all-consuming, but not showy. Of love for God that entered into her bones, but didn't draw attention to itself in a needy way. The unjust steward is praised for his urgency, tenacity, his willingness to lay hold on what mattered to him above all else, illustrated in his case in terms of earthly goods. The gospel never ceases to apply that to the kingdom of God, and it's perfectly possible to embrace that while not being showy or ostentatious about it. That's to say something about the overall message of the parable, but what of the detail? It's not incidental. Jesus is interested in more than the general character or behaviour of the manager. He picks up on the specifics, namely wealth. Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, he says, that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Now, so much could be said about that, but I'm going to focus on just one thing, namely that great theological category of friendship. Make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, Christ says. The dishonest steward is praised twice over, first within the parable, and then by Christ's storyteller. I wonder whether that's because this dishonest man, for all his failings, puts relationships ahead of wealth and friendship ahead of worldly goods. And because of that, despite of his failings of responsibility, he gets to the heart of things, which is friendship. After all, why did God create the world? Why did Christ come to us? So that we could be friends with one another and, a miracle beyond words, that we could also be friends with God. Time, if you will indulge me, this Brit or the Queen, one more time. The whole world has been looking back on her life this past week, and the focus hasn't been on palaces or jewels. It's not even that often been on her dresses. What everyone is talking about is their interest in people. A work to put people at ease, the capacity to draw people together by her famous sense of humour. The commentators are marvelling at her relationships with other leaders, her commitment to know and really understand leaders from every continent and culture. And we are remembering her commitment to friendship between nations in the form of the Commonwealth. In all of this, we are reminded that people, relationships, and friendships are what matter. They're what last when everything else is gone. The past week has seen days of national mourning around the world, even in unexpected places like Cuba. And we've heard remarkable speeches. If you haven't heard the one by President Macron of France, I'd recommend having a look at that. We've seen a 5-mile, 16-hour queue through the night, which warms my heart, that people may pay their respects to her. That moves me deeply, but it also leaves me a bit worried. I'm glad all that's happening, but will it actually leave a mark on my nation or any other? After all, there was a great deal of grief after the death of the previous Princess of Wales, but to be honest, I'm not sure it really changed us. I hope it will be different this time, but I'm cautious about saying that it will be so. So perhaps in the days and years ahead, if you happen to think about Elizabeth II, let the message of the gospel today come to mind. We are to be urgent, all out for God and the faith kind of Christians. And to my mind, that can be shown through a measured devotion, unshowy, and in it for the long run, so much the better. And we are to remember that it's relationships, it's friendship with one another and with God that matters most of all. If we recognise that, if we really recognise that, then it will come naturally for us to to use the resources at our disposal for the end that really matters, for people, for relationships, for friendship. That is the great thing, relationships and friendship with one another and with God, compared to which wealth, even the crown jewels,